Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Community Garden Revolution. My name is Mary Huppel, and it is hot outside, folks. As you know, there's a heat wave going across America. And I'm telling you, it is hot. So do stay hydrated. We haven't heard too many people passing out or anything of that sort or whatever, thank God. But we do hear that people are getting, you know, a little bit overheated or dizzy or something of that sort. So be careful, because that heat can come out and hit you fast. So have some kind of water, some kind of maybe sports drink to drink. So get some electric lights and get some salt in you. Sometimes I bring in like a salty snack of some sort, so at least then I can put some of the salt back into my system. So do be careful. Because it isn't something to fiddle with. If you can stay inside, it's the best thing anyway. But we've looked at some plants that we have, and we've had to really double down on the watering right this second. But the flip side is that we're going to get supposedly some rain tomorrow. But we don't trust all that stuff, so we just go ahead and do what we need to do. But do be careful and do watch out for your plants, because it is tough stuff going out there. Now, we did have some plants that grew a little bit faster because all of a sudden now the dirt is bone dry, just bone dry. And so we went ahead and this morning did some watering. But do be careful and do have someone else around you, or at least then they know that you're there. So in case you do get sick or something hits you, because I've read that someone came back and she said that when she was driving back in the car, she just felt nauseated because the heat was just so intense. And so you do have to be careful. And I know that person driving back, she said, I was just so glad to get home. So do be careful, because you can't mess with heat. And if you do have a problem, of course, go to the ER or see your doctor. But go out real early in the morning, or just wait until maybe the next day. But do be careful. Kid you not. All right, so today we're going to go on talk about raspberries, and then is produce affordable for folks to be able to stay on their dietary guidelines, and then also that there's evidently some challenges that the USDA says in the hemp industry, even though that was attached to the farm bill. So we'll hear out what they say about that. And I have people that they're interested in the hemp industry. I don't know if they grow any of the stuff or partake or whatever. I'm not sure. But there are people that do like to hear out information on that. So, all righty. Well, hope that you're doing all right and that you're having a great summer so far. The kiddies are getting ready, evidently, to go back to school. I've been in some stores, and they're already picking out the school supplies with their relatives, which I think is kind of early. But maybe it isn't. I don't know. But hope that it's an enjoyable summer for you all. So, but it has been a fast one, I'll tell you. And with the weather going up and down, up and down, it's been hard to tell which season we're in sometimes. But do take care of yourself and make sure that you are hydrated during this heat wave. So we're going to be right back. You're listening to Community Garden Revolution. And my name is Mary Huckel. We'll see you on the other side. If the music would start. And we did have the music start, didn't it? Okay, so this is Community Garden Revolution. My name is Mary Huckel. And I also wanted to tell you, too, I know we have done in this heat, we've done salads for two different evenings. We need them anyway. And we had chicken salad also. And then tonight I'm going to use the pressure cooker to cook the meal. And it's going to be pot roast and then have some potatoes and some carrots. And, of course, we have some other fruit that we put along with that. So that's basically what we're going to be having tonight. Sometimes I put a roll with it, you know, a biscuit or something with it. I'm not going to do that today because we need to lose the weight. And then dessert, it's whatever it is that we think we can swallow down in this hot heat. So, but that's our excitement for tonight. I'm Fight because I love using my pressure cooker. It's one of those three-quart instant pots. Love it. I mean, I just love that thing. So we eat some good meals from that, and I like to put some good seasoning in there. I'm already salivating. But after this show, I've got to go ahead and help the neighbors do the trash cans and give them to the curb. I know I'm an exciting person. So they're older folks, and sometimes they need some help, and every weekend I've got the opportunity to help out. Oh, gee, wow, woo. And so that's one of those moments here after the show. Here in the Midwest. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and find out from the USDA. They've got a little ditty here about raspberries. Now, some folks like them, some people don't. But they do rank number 3 in U.S. berry popularity, believe it or not. Isn't that something? And some people consider it being a delicious and a delicate food. I just feel it's just one of the fruit to be able to eat, but what do I know? And so this is going to be Gary Crawford giving us information on that. And I've got to cue the story up here right for you. Alrighty, here it is.
Yes, every year the Oscars go to the best Hollywood has to offer, but then there's the annual Razzie Awards, the ceremony to honor the worst of Hollywood. And as they say, at the Razzies...
Let the Razzies begin!
Hey, Razzie, taken from the term raspberry, which back in the day was a sound like this, like that, to indicate displeasure with someone or something. Now today, we are here at the Vegetation Tip of the Agriculture Department's Farmers Market in Washington, D.C. with Vegetator Chantel Oyee. You're going to be telling folks all about...
Raspberries!
Yeah, but first, Chantel, have you ever made that raspberry sound, you know, like this? Ever do that?
No.
Oh, ooh, you got to give it a try. Go ahead, try. Sound more like a bird.
I can't do it.
We'll keep trying.
We'll keep trying. I'm not good.
By the end of our talk, you'll have... Okay. Now, about raspberries. Like me, they are delicate things of beauty, right?
Raspberries are one of the most delicate fruits. They're usually hand-picked because the mechanical processing of harvesting can actually tear up the flesh from raspberries.
Hand-harvested?
Every single one by hand because they're so delicate.
That's Alma Diaz, and she grows raspberries on her farm in Virginia. Now, not only do raspberries have to be hand-picked, but Alma, you told me you go even further on finding the right people to gently harvest those raspberries.
We hire girls because they're more delicate than men.
You mean the men are just too tough on those raspberries?
Yes.
Now, Chantel says that raspberries are picked right. They don't ripen anymore after they're harvested, so we shoppers have to treat them very gently and use them very quickly before they go bad.
When storing them, it's best to store them unwashed and uncovered in the fridge. Remove any mushy fruits because they transfer to the other fruits, causing them to go bad. And then you want to place berries in a paper towel to absorb any moisture. The moisture can also lead to mold buildup and spoilage as well.
And even then, you got maybe 2 or 3 days on them.
Exactly.
So while raspberries are delicate things, Chantel, you say they are strong nutritionally. A lot of vitamin C, fiber, what else?
They have a very low glycemic index compared to other fruits. So your glycemic index is basically a relative ranking of carbohydrates and foods according to how they affect your blood glucose levels. So raspberries have natural sugars, however, their carbohydrate content has a low glycemic index. So they're actually good for people who are diabetic and are looking to keep their glycemic index down.
All right, now, ready to try that raspberry sound once again? Go ahead.
Yes, yes. I think she's got it.
I think so. I think I'm ready to go for the Razzies.
Next time, we'll explore a great summertime raspberry recipe. In Washington, Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
And thank you, Gary Crawford. Okay, so we're going to also find out some information about produce being affordable and able for folks to meet dietary guidelines. As I told you before, somewhere around the fall area, there's a possibility that grocery stores can raise prices. We've seen 10 cents every so often, 20 cents here and there. But because so many farmers were not able to get out in the fields and produce something, and unfortunately, people around the world have had the same issue. Suppose it's an 11-year cycle for rain. I've never heard of that before, but supposedly that's part of it. So prices could go up. So the concern, evidently, is that people want to make sure that, hey, can I meet the federal guidelines? I know in our family we eat a lot of fruits and vegetables for our meals and over the course of the day, and our numbers look pretty good usually. You know, we work at it, and because they say one out of ten people eat enough fruits and vegetables in the course of a day to meet guidelines. Isn't that strange? That is too strange. But here is what the USDA feels that's going to be happening with fruits and vegetables and the cost of that.
Can you afford the Agriculture Department's recommended daily allowance of fruits and vegetables? In other words, how affordable is purchasing produce to meet dietary guidelines? According to one USDA economic researcher, some might find it surprisingly affordable.
For an average American on a 2,000-calorie diet, it's possible to meet your recommendations for about $2.10 to $2.60 per day,
as in the range of $2.10 to $2.60 a day, according to researcher Hayden Stewart. This study focused on addressing what might be a common misconception among consumers.
People are not, in general, meeting those recommendations, and this perception that fruits and vegetables are expensive may be a contributing factor.
And Stewart says this particular misconception, and the study of such for USDA researchers, is nothing new.
We've been doing this for a number of years. We do it pretty much every time the dietary guidelines have been updated for the last three times.
The current USDA dietary guidelines cover a five-year period, with a new set of guidelines scheduled for release in the year 2020. For this current guideline period, Stewart and colleagues at the Economic Research Service focused on combinations of fresh and processed produce that would meet minimum dietary requirements and what their daily cost would be for consumers.
What we've done here is we priced out the cost for about 156 different fresh and processed fruits and vegetables.
So as an illustration of the research and its direction,
four different daily combinations of fruits and vegetables that could be purchased for between $2.10 and $2.60 per day. For example, at the lower end of that range, there is a basket which includes a cup of orange juice, also raisins, romaine lettuce, carrots, tomato, corn, and cucumber. So there would be an example of what someone could buy potentially at 2016 prices. Those were the most recently available data for about specific example was $2.12.
And in terms of the misconception of the limits of affordability of fruits and vegetables to limited income households,
whether or not they're affordable to a household on a limited budget has more to do with the priority a household places on these two food groups. The typical American household needs to look at its food budget and try to make room for these products. That might mean spending a little bit less on some other food, but if they do so, they should be able to eat healthier, to eat a diet that's closer to conforming with the dietary guidelines for Americans.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. And what people need to realize is that, you know, you can get a lot of frozen items. I think we spent $129 for some corn and some peas and carrots, and we're storing some stuff in the freezer. So you can go to different stores. Some stores are going to sell things higher price. Some stores are going to sell them for less price. So we normally go to X amount of stores for our grocery. We make a circle and we go around. We don't just do one or two stores and that's it. And because we're in a location where we can just go from one store to the other, we can save some money because we're going down the street anyway to the main two that we go to. But we can save some money and then be able to put that toward other things that we want to do with our life. That's what we do is we try to make it where we get the best deal for the food. And all these we feel for us is one of the best ones to go to. We dump as much money as we can there first. We don't buy all their stuff. We call them twonkies if it's a product that's not too good. But most of the products are excellent. And we're not in the part where it has to be the right can label on the green beans. We don't care. For 49 cents, I like it a lot better than paying 99 cents or a dollar something. So we load up on those things too, and then make sure we've got enough on the shelf that in case we have to eat for, let's say, 2-3 months down the road if something happened, we do try that. Some of the stuff we try for a longer period of time, but we do try some of those things like fruit cans and also stuff that's frozen that's fruit, also vegetables and fruits that can be frozen, also the canned stuff. So we have a mixture in case because, I mean, when you're trying to prepare for a disaster or a situation that could happen, what are we preparing for? So we try to say, hey, we're just going to do the best we can, and at least we've got different options available. We have a grill that we've had for years, and we change out the charcoal every so often just in case we need that. So, you know, do what you got to do, but do put in some money for your fruits and vegetables, because bottom line, you'll be a healthier person, and when you do become sick with a virus or flu bug or something of that sort, you'll come out a lot better. You really will, because you'll heal a lot faster. So we just really believe in fruits and vegetables being a great medicine for folks to live with. So, but that's our opinion. And hopefully you'll be more than the 1 out of 10 people in America that eats the required amount or what you could eat for vegetables and fruits, which is freaky to me that it's just 1 out of 10. That's concerning. All right, so now we're going to go ahead and find the challenges in expanding industrial hemp industry. That's a real big industry in one of the states in Kentucky in the United States, in the Midwest. And then also then they added it on for other things that they can use hemp for, H-E-M-P, which is great. I mean, so it's like a cash cow or cash product for these folks. So although legalized by the 2018 Farm Bill, the Agriculture Secretary says industrial hemp growers still face challenges regarding the growth and expansion of the industry. And so Rod Bain's going to tell us about that.
What I heard is a lot of optimism regarding the opportunities. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue recently speaking in the Bluegrass State about how industrial hemp, legalized per the 2018 Farm Bill, could provide economic benefits for growers in states like Kentucky and across the country via products ranging from biofuels and CBD oils, animal feedstuffs, and textiles. Yet the secretary in this visit to Kentucky joined many stakeholders in this fairly new, quickly growing industry in pointing out there are challenges going forward. And it's not just the challenge created by misconceptions consumers may have between industrial hemp and its cousin, illegal in some states, cannabis. Secretary Perdue says these misconceptions are also a main factor behind both regulatory and financial challenges in expanding the industrial hemp industry. For instance, a lack of uniform nationwide regulations, in part created by a state that legalized both cannabis and industrial hemp pre-2018 Farm Bill.
A standardization of regulations across the country over states being somewhat equal in the level playing field between that.
There are also various transportation and financial transaction challenges as well.
We heard about the transportation of extract that is prohibited currently. We heard about financial transaction issues where this new crop is kind of conflated with cannabis, and the financial industry has to accept that this is a legal crop.
Industrial hemp producers also told the secretary they need modern farming techniques created via research to develop a safe, healthy, and quality crop, as well as the development of actuarially sound crop insurance programs for growers.
We don't know what the production capacity of these crops are because they're new, and we'll work through that. What we'll have for 2020 is called a whole revenue farm policy, and that's typically done on specialty crops or crops where you can't insure a crop itself, but have a whole farm revenue policy there.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thank you, Rod Bain, and we'll try to keep you up on that every so often when they do have something available. You can always look at the USDA.gov website, and they have updates of what's going on with different products or recalls, that kind of thing. I get that all the time, what they've recalled, or companies sometimes voluntarily recall products. So do keep up with that if that's the field that you're into or what the cash crop that you're wanting to go into, because it is a growing field. There's a lot of stuff, or newsletter stuff that I get in other facets of the industry of food what they're trying to experiment with and see if it works out or, you know, that kind of thing. And still, though, like banking, they're trying to see what they can do with cannabis. They didn't for years do anything with them, and these people had to have all their money in a safe, and they had to hire people to keep their safe okay, and then they had to hire companies to actually hold the money because they couldn't work with banks. The banks wouldn't work with them to have banking accounts. So isn't that crazy? But, you know, it was all associated with something bad. So I like the medicinal stuff myself. I don't take it, but I think that's a wise thing to do. The other stuff I would be clueless about. I am concerned that a lot of the stuff is going to be in a lot of the edible kind of things because we don't need alcoholics. We don't need people to be high on whatever. And the opioids, that is a thing all by itself. We need to have people with fresh, open minds because it's going to be different times ahead. And we've got to make sure that you got your wits about you. So that's my opinion. Okay, now the freshpreserving.com, folks, www.freshpreserving.com, that's the ball collection of different jam jars and mason jars and, you know, all the other kind of collection stuff. And they have on their website, like, different things you can go under, like recipes, canning jars, lids and brands, accessories, appliances, and ingredients. And they're a well-designed group. The pictures are just stunning. And, of course, people send in all their different pictures of how they do things or what they've done with the different mason jars and whatever, and give some little tips or ideas of what they went into or had problems with. I like that a lot. It gives a good little forum or a little flow of information for people to, you know, say, hey, this is what happened to me, what do you think, or what do you suggest, because it keeps the communication open for some great ideas. For me, I think it's awesome for the Fresh Tech appliances, and that's for canning that you can do, and that's something that you can ask Santa Claus coming up that is called the Fresh Tech appliance, and it's for canning. And they have different sizes for you to choose from, different kinds of ways of looking at it. And, you know, what you can do or what, you know, maybe somebody's a little bit more industrial than you are. And the technology is just superior, just absolutely superior. That's why I like my pressure cooker. We were thought about getting one of those simpler ones that my mom has, but I just didn't. And I'm glad that I went with more technology on this. Sometimes technology, I think, is good. Sometimes I think it's just dumb. But technology, I think, on this side with the canning and also with the pressure cooker is awesome because you can do a lot of things, or they can react to the meat or the canning part in a way that is fast and efficient. And you're not standing there trying to figure out, you know, okay, now if I did it that way or should I have done it this way or, you know, that kind of stuff. It takes a lot of the thinking out for you so that if you just stop for a second and go, now, how did I get in that situation? And then you'll be able to think it through, or it'll help you. The machine, I think, sometimes helps me, you know, gauge out whether that meat is ready or not. Now, I like my meat in a pressure cooker pretty juicy or tasty and then falls off the bone kind of thing. So that's really helpful for me. I enjoy that, and I can do it in blocks of 20 minutes at a time. So Fresh Tech canner, on that, it's got a lot of little gizmo things that you can use or not use, depending upon what you're wanting to accomplish. And it's up to date. That will help you out. I mean, they're wanting you to be a success. So do check that out. It's one of my favorite websites to look at. Of course, the Ball Mason Jars is one of my favorite products of all time, just like toothpicks. But I don't know, but I should look up a company about toothpicks. Yeah, because I like toothpicks. So, but it is a great thing to ask Santa for. I know that it's on my list, and we'll see what Santa comes up with. I don't know. I may get a box of toothpicks. I don't know. There's options out there, you know, or maybe I'll get the dip chocolate chip toothpicks. I don't know. But anyway, check it out because I think it's a great product, and they have all kinds of different mason jars that you'll see there in the different sizes. Is it a wide mouth, or is it the regular? Is it the quart size? You know, is it the pint size? You'll be able to see all those different sizes and then pick out what you can use. Now, some people use that for decorations and, you know, whatnot, and candles and whatever. We're not that creative. So for us, we're just interested in the food. just give us the food. but if you have time for that stuff, that's great for you. We just don't have the time for it. And we're not that talented. So, but anyway, do check them out. It's www.freshpreserving.com. Do check us out on our digital magazine at www.magzter.com. And I think I did one of the best front covers that I've done for a while. And that was for the June issue. July's going to be out. And we appreciate all the interest or questions that you have. We appreciate and hope we're answering some things, what's on the podcast or the magazine. But we're going to shake it up coming up. We're finally going to draw that line and go ahead and shake it up, because I know that when I cross that line, it is no looking back. Of course, I don't look back anyway. I don't like to. But it's no looking back, and it is going full throttle. And when you go full throttle, you got to be ready to really race and roll. So so we're going to start doing that. We've kind of hedged it and not done it and kind of, okay, we'll do it, and then we don't. Anyway, so but we've got to get to it and be the best that we can for y'all and get the best information we can. So that's how it rocks. Okay. Well, we hope that you have a great summer. Do keep hydrated. Have sports drinks around or water. Just be careful with the heat. You might want to go early in the morning. Do water your plants. Ours were bone dry today. The dirt was just bone dry. And I watered a little bit yesterday. Maybe it's because I just watered a little bit. But they were bone dry today. So I'm glad we went out there and took care of it. So, but good luck to you for this summer, and hope that you have a great bountiful harvest coming. And if you can, freeze what you can. But do stay hydrated. You're listening to Community Garden Revolution. My name is Mary Huckel. Have a great Community Garden Day.